scripture this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But what if we hope for what we do not yet have? We wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God. Graduates, thank you for being with us. Wesley Ringers, thank you for blessing us this morning. As you've already heard, today is not only graduation Sunday, where we're celebrating our seniors, it's also Pentecost Sunday, the day that we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. On this day, some 2,000 years ago, a movement of the Holy Spirit began in a locked room that spilled out into the streets of Jerusalem, where thousands heard the message of hope in the midst of their hopelessness, a message of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. That same message, friends, has brought us here to this place this morning, to worship the one through whom God has extended salvation to us all, not to a few, but to the whole world, so that like those disciples, we might also be sent out to proclaim the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to God in prayer this morning in anticipation. Almighty God, let your Holy Spirit blow upon us. Let it fill us, Lord, that we too might be sent out into your world to bring transformation and new life in your name. Lord, we know that all things are possible in you and through you, and so we offer our whole selves to you, asking that you sanctify us, that you cleanse us, and that you bless us as we seek to bless others in this world. Stir among us this morning as we encounter your holy word. Bless us and keep us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So just this past Tuesday, I found myself at the Walmart neighborhood market, a place that my family likes to call the Small Mart. Do y'all call it the Small Mart? We have Big Walmart, and we have the Small Mart just down the road. I was there early in the morning, in fact, very early in the morning, because I woke up and realized we had no turkey or gluten-free bread to pack for the girls' lunches on that Tuesday morning. And so I left, you know, at 5:45 in the morning trying to get over to the neighborhood market just in time for the doors to open. So I was there at 5:55 watching the employees enter the building, waiting for that moment when the customer opening began to slide open. And as soon as it did, I bolted through the doors. I mean, I moved through those doors, ran down the aisle on the far left side, grabbing the honey-roasted turkey breast on the way, hung a right back there by the milk, and then back down through the middle of the store to grab a loaf of gluten-free bread. By this time, it was 6:02 in the morning. Listen, I was making time. Then I hastily made my way to the self-checkout machines. I want you to know that at 6:02 in the morning, the only place to check out at the Small Mart is the self-checkout registers. I had to go to the machines, and as I walked up, I could see that they were still booting up. You know, I don't know if they run on Windows XP or like DOS, whatever, but they were doing their thing, right? So I'm watching the machines boot up, and I'm waiting because I've got to go. Like, I've got to get back to the house. I've got to pack these lunches so that the girls can head off to get their day started. So I'm waiting, ready to move quickly and decisively to get back home. After all, I not only have years of experience as a self-checkout operator, you too have years of experience by now, But I was a cashier at Piggly Wiggly for a number of years in high school. I know how a scanner works, friends. I've got experience. So I moved toward the scanner, swiping the turkey over the glass and the lasers, and I heard the familiar boop, you know, the boop, the beep, right? You know the sound? Like the sound of congratulations, human, you've successfully scanned your item. And so I hear the boop, and I quickly move to drop the turkey into the bag, right? Because if you don't do it quick enough, the machine yells at you, and I know this. And I don't want to be further embarrassed this morning. So I hear the boop, and I drop the turkey in the bag, and it's about that time I hear the computer say, please scan your first item and place it in the bag. It's like, hang on just a second. I know it's 6:02 in the morning. I know it's early, but I have completed that task. I already did, I said out loud to no one in particular. And I noticed that my purchase wasn't showing on the screen, so I scanned it again. Boop. Placed the turkey in the bag, only to hear, please scan your first item and place it in the bag. So I scanned it again. Beep, and again, beep, and again, beep. My frustration building every time the turkey passed across the glass and the lasers. Until at last, the purchase showed up on the screen. 6 different scans. I was on a mission. I did not have time for this, right? So I'm frustrated, and it was that point, at that moment, where I just let out just a sigh. I just went, and at that moment, the woman who was watching me, salesperson at the front, noticing my frustration, she walked over and said, that's all right, honey. Just let it all out. She did something with a little scan card to clear the scanner, and I started over. And of course, this time it worked perfectly. And I was grateful and mortified. And I thought to myself on the way back to the house that I'd probably been sighing a lot that particular morning. Because I was, you know, pretty frustrated, pretty close to the end of my rope. I've sighed a lot in the last few days and weeks. And I know a thing or two about sighs. I mean, I'm a Georgia Southern fan and a Braves fan. And friends, we've sighed some deep sighs over the years, haven't we? I won't mention the Falcons. Maybe I did then. Stephanie and I have 2 girls. We have a teenager and a tweenager, and we've sighed some deep sighs. Sometimes our sighs are intended to be dramatic. Other times, our sighs are simply our body's way of compensating for stress. It's the body's way of making us breathe deeply when we're so hard at it that we forget to breathe. Apparently, when we experience stress in our lives, our breathing becomes more rapid and increasingly shallow, and our bodies will compensate for the lack of oxygen getting to our brain by making us sigh. Our bodies will literally force us at times to take a deep breath. We sigh. When? When the stressful pace of life gets to us, when the last paper is finished and the last exam is taken and graduation and the next big step looms before us, we sigh. We sigh when we sit at the hospital bedside with the loved one who is sick and we find ourselves unable to help or to make any sort of difference. We sigh. We sigh when we sit before our television screens or computer monitors and read the daily headlines about war, famine, genocide, and the injustice of the day. We sigh when we hear about violence down our street, in our community, and in our world. And in those moments, in the midst of our sighs, we can sometimes find that a deep weariness and despair begins to creep in. In those moments, our sighs, they may be our body's way of forcing us to take a deep breath, but they also may express something more about what's going on inside of us. They might express something about our interior lives that our words alone can't express. Many of our sighs, I believe, are prayers without words. Prayers that we breathe instead of speak. So this week, as I read this text from Romans chapter 8, I returned to Paul's claim that the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. At the very point where we find ourselves breathless, the Spirit of God intercedes with sighs too deep for words, Paul says. Isn't that a remarkable thing to say, that God sighs with us when we are overcome and when we are overwhelmed? Not only that, but when we cannot muster the strength to form a single word, the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. God does, once again, that which we cannot do or could not do on our own. I think oftentimes when we let out those deep sighs, we feel like we're the only ones who are sighing and who are groaning, like we're the only ones who are struggling beneath the weight of the world. But Paul reminds us that we are, in fact, not alone. He says that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, he says, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly. Paul says, listen, I know your frustration. I know your tiredness and your weariness. And yes, I know that you too have access to the Holy Spirit, and there are those moments in your life when the words just won't come out, when the frustration and tiredness is just too great. Paul says, in those moments, take heart, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, prays for you and prays with you. But why is it that so often we find ourselves frustrated and tired? As disciples, I think it's because we often know that the world is not as it should be. As disciples, we know that the world is not as it should be, that our lives are not as they should be. As disciples of Jesus, we know that we are surrounded by brokenness and pain so great that even creation itself feels it and sighs with us. But our groaning and our sighs and the groaning of all creation are not simply sighs of exasperation, but they're sighs of anticipation. I'm going to say that again. Our sighs are not simply sighs of exasperation, but sighs of anticipation. Because we know that a day is coming when the brokenness and pain of this world will be completely undone. We know that a day is coming when our Savior will appear on the clouds with fire and will make all things new, will set all things right. Paul says that we sigh along with all of creation because we too are waiting eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we are saved. Paul says, friends, if you're hoping that salvation comes from your works, your hope is in the wrong place. Paul says, if your hope is in that you'll do enough or be enough, that your hope is in the wrong place. Paul says, you're not saved by your works, but you're saved by the hope we have in the redeeming and restorative work of God through Jesus Christ. We are saved by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, which has set us in right relationship with God and opens up eternity for us all. Eternity that begins right here and right now. As the Holy Spirit not only groans with us, but empowers us to live transformed lives that transform our world. Can you imagine that first Pentecost? The doors and windows to the room have been locked and barred because the disciples were afraid. when suddenly a wind from nowhere begins to blow. In the midst of the disciples sighing, in the midst of their exasperation, in the midst of their brokenness, the Spirit of God begins to blow, and they receive an empowerment, a strengthening. Tongues of fire, Acts 2 says, begins to light on their head. And they move out into the streets, telling the truth of the gospel to a weary and exasperated world. They begin to say good news. The sin and death that you've been living in, the curse that you have been living under, has been lifted not by what you've done, but by what God has done on your behalf. The sinfulness and brokenness of this world has been overcome by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that day, as the word was proclaimed in the streets, in languages that the disciples didn't even know, hearts were turned to the right. Hope was restored for thousands of people, and new life took root in the lives of those people. So maybe you're tired this morning. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you've sighed a few sighs. We haven't locked the doors and windows, but we are pretty well shut in here, aren't we? What if today the Spirit of God began to blow in us and amongst us? What if today, for the first time, we said yes to Jesus' offer of salvation and yes to the movement of the Spirit, so that our lives would not just be saved, but sent to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth? Friends, as disciples, we have access to the Holy Spirit and the opportunity to live empowered lives that transform the world in Jesus' name. So the next time you sigh, may your sigh not simply be a sigh of exasperation, but a sigh of anticipation. A sigh that not only says this isn't the way things should be, but also expresses our hope for a day when God makes all things new, when God sets all things right the way they should be. And when you find yourself at a loss for words, may you remember that you are not alone, but enveloped in the love and grace of God made available to you through the Holy Spirit. Like the disciples on Pentecost, even today we wait for the gift of the Spirit to fill us to overflowing, to empower us, and to remind us of the hope that saves us and makes all things new, even our broken and weary lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have sighed many sighs in the course of our life. We know the weight which we labor under. We know the curse of sin and death and the brokenness that we walk through every day. But help us, Lord, in the midst of all that we see and know, not to lose heart. For you are indeed making a way. You are redeeming and restoring every soul and circumstance. You are making a way where there seems to be no way. And so this morning, Lord, we put our whole trust in you, because you have saved us and you have redeemed us and you have sent your Spirit to minister to us in our weakness. Send your peace to us that transcends all understanding. Give us confidence for the days to come. Renew a right spirit in us, Lord, that we might worship you with the fullness of who we are. Stir within us, O God, that we might share your love with the world around us. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. And we pray this morning as your disciples that your Spirit would blow on us once more. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.